Hey there, high contrast listener. Before you get into episode 9, we just want to tell you about episode 10. We're going to do a live recording, maybe on the Twitch channel, maybe on the YouTube stations. Follow iChris or Dog Burps if you don't already subscribe or donate or whatever, and you're in our stuffy Slack. We'll talk about it there. But we're going to do a live stream of episode 10 just for a little celebration of reaching episode 10. Is that okay, Kyle?
Yeah, it sounds good. I think Twitch is probably a good place. You don't need an account or anything. You can just tune in over at goodstuff.fm/live when we do end up putting that up. And you can join in on the conversation or the chat room. It'll be lots of fun.
Yeah. It'll be during the day-ish sometime, and we'll let you know. So, all right. Enjoy this episode. It was amazing. Probably the best episode ever.
It was great. Yeah, probably. Most probably.
At least the first 2 minutes. Enjoy.
I can run you through my Audio Hijack Strat Guide here and show you how to work this.
Burps Audio Hijack Guide .biz
.pro, I think.
Use coupon code. show me your hijack.
Yes. Well, this is really bad.
Oh, I see. You got the VU meters.
Yeah, the VU. I got peak RMS. So what I'm trying to do is not hit zero, yeah. Basically. Zero's the top of that one. The volume meters, I don't know. They're not as helpful. Maybe I just put them in there because they look cool. I could get rid of them all. So the far left are the different mixer inputs on my Sapphire Pro 40. Mm-hmm. The second one down is actually it's a combination of two inputs, 7 and 8 here on my mixer. And then I record that down to a single track, but stereo.
Right.
And that's the recorder on the far right hand side. And then the one where they all connect is just sort of like a, I guess, quote unquote, backup of what the recording is. And that is a 128 MP3.
Right.
So I've got to the left are all the AIFF, like uncompressed versions. And then they all kind of mix down, combine into one. So it's nice. Like we use it. So I have the morning show one up here. We use it to do the unedited broadcast that I just throw into the quote unquote with toast feed, explicit.
Right. Where you can drop the F bombs. And then it's done right away too. So you don't have to do any sort of,
it is. Yeah. So it's just sort of, there's something, it's kind of like that After Dark feel. I wanted to hear the weird behind the scenes, like fiddling with the knobs stuff that they would do, or connecting on Skype, or like why the like voyeuristic weird behind the scenes stuff that I wanted to know about on the audio side. Here we go.
Yeah. So that's my, show me your hijack.
This looks wow. This is like a,
I do the, the approach of like, this is what I don't like about Audio Hijack in a way of, and why, like using it. And same thing with like Mimo and stuff where you have, it's possible to have multiple sessions. Like I would have my high contrast session with Kyle, and then I'd have my At You Too session, and then I'd have my whatever, right? For each show that I do. But I go in and like fiddle with my levels on something, say in the high contrast session, but then I forget to do that in the At You Too session.
And
then
it's
like, so I just like to have one thing, and then sort of that's why I have like the input device on the third row of stuff with probably shouldn't with that thing with the F word, and then
that's the F word.
I know nobody's gonna know. But I can switch that to the input device being, because that's like soundboard section, right? So if I want to use my phone, which I used to use for the At You Too show, then I just plug that into the Scarlett mixer and turn that one on instead of the soundboard software or whatever.
So I think the main difference for you is that you have dynamics processors, audio unit dynamics processors in line, where I'm doing hardware stuff. You've got software stuff going.
Right.
Does that result in any, you're not monitoring through there. So I guess that's not that bad, but you can't really hear the output of what is resulting from all this kind of,
well, I get your, like the output from you and from soundboard.
Oh, I see it. I see it.
Right. Yeah.
I wonder if that's like a minus. Oh, okay. So you're what would a minus 500 milliseconds delay do?
It would delay you by 500 milliseconds, right?
Wouldn't that be a positive delay?
No, because you're saying
you're putting a negative on a pot. Okay, all right. Because I'm just wondering, like, have you bent time? Has Audio Hijack figured out a way to bend space and time to make the thoughts actually come out of my mouth faster?
That's a good question. Actually, I don't know what I was doing. Somehow it worked at the time because I was playing with OBS. I think. See, that's a
right.
Residue. That's some audio residue of Audio Hijack residue from when I was using OBS to try and stream.
Can you just say that word one more time?
Audio residue. Residual audio. Which way?
Yeah, I'm thinking like residue. The thing that ends up, the thing that ends up on the inside of your shower.
What was I saying? Audio residue.
yeah.
Well, it's the French in me.
got it.
Just sipping my wine as I pinky in the air. Do you have any residue?
Eating your croissant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the theater. Mm-hmm. Crackers and cheese.
Okay, so we've got the processor. Then it goes to volume. So we're kind of boinking down the volume a little bit.
Is that a technical term?
Yeah.
And see, then, the only reason I use the Dynamics processor there is for noise gate. So it's just for like if it's too low. So that's all it's doing. It's not, so that if you're primarily for me, but also if you were sending a low level signal of like your cat in the background or whatever, who in the right mind wants to hear a cat is what I ask. Welcome to Dog Face and Crab Walker in the morning. Yes.
I have plenty of cats. There's actually one, two. I had two. Oh no, right under the desk. Yep, right there. Well, there's one under the desk, right under my feet.
Sorry.
Okay. Wow. No. They actually
dog
aren't
face and crab.
They are not monitoring this call right now, so we should be okay.
I wonder if you could. I was just thinking about putting what are the Apple's earbuds thing, AirPods, whatever they're called, mm-hmm. in a cat and just letting it run around your house and sending it different sounds.
In a cat?
What, not, in a cat's ear, not in a cat, no. Not like swallowing, not I ingesting mean, it.
Their hearing is so sensitive. I assume that that would just not. I mean, are you thinking like?
I'm not talking about animal
basically
cruelty.
Basically, what you okay?
It's not,
all right,
that's not what this is about.
But it's like listen to podcasts and get things done,
right?
Type stuff. Like you do the dishes and you also catch an episode of My Favorite Murder,
right?
Just to set the mood,
and whatever cats listen to. But I'm more thinking like something how where you could send them an like some sort of audio signal that would either get them to do something. I'm just sort of cat manipulation is what I'm after.
It sounds like do you live in a castle? Are you a potential, are you like mad scientist? Yeah.
Yeah. I deal with a lot of residue. Hmm. Welcome to Dog Face and Crab Walker in the morning. He's Dog Face. I'm Crab Walker. We would like to apologize for the lack of the video version in the previous episode, just because we said well in advance that it may not work. So hopefully you got your money back if you did hand it in.
I knew it wouldn't work. I was listening back to some of that audio, and I do apologize for the quality of the last show. There was way too much going on.
It wasn't
on my computer.
Hour. Yeah,
it definitely was not. I tried to clean it up using Adobe Audition. They've got a nice little like pop and click remover where you can kind of get rid of a few of those audio artifacts without fussing it up too much. But it was pretty bad. Not acceptable. Had you actually been available during that week, I would have called you back and had us reenact the entire show.
Right.
Verbatim from our actual script that we have here.
Yeah, I know. Little known fact is we script every episode of this show. People might not realize that just because of the quality of our, what's like improvmanship? Is that the word? I think that's the
yes.
word. Yes. That's the word now.
That's what I wrote here.
Yeah.
It says improvmanship. Yeah, that's exactly what's on the script. So go ahead and just run with it.
Yeah.
Also, this whole part where I talk about the actual script is in the script. So it's just, it's layer upon layer upon layer of scriptception, I think.
Scriptception, yeah.
In the script.
I remember.
Already in the script.
Yeah, when we wrote that, this part.
Yeah. Oh, man.
How many layers?
All right, I got the notes up. Yeah, I got all that. I got the notes up.
So it's catch up, follow up. in a tomato as a byproduct of ketchup. Or no, ketchup is a byproduct of tomato. Well, we talked about ketchup. I can't remember which way it is. I know that's a common morning show refrain or theme that you go back to is ketchup and tomatoes, primarily breakfast ketchup.
Yeah.
Haroldina, we're just going to have to agree to disagree that you're wrong. And I have it on record on the podcast now that you're wrong about ketchup being bad in the morning, right? I think that's what he is.
It's
his issue was.
It's thoroughly divisive. Yeah, it really, really is. And I don't think either camp is waning at this point. I think folks are sticking to their guns, as it were, mm-hmm. to their ketchup guns. And it's not one of those top of mind debates that seems to be flooding the internet at the moment. I think we have much, much bigger issues, but ketchup seems to be one of those hot topics at goodstuff.fm that we just can't shake. Mm-hmm. And
it's our Vietnam, maybe
a little. Well,
that's probably terrible to say. I'm not American, so don't quote me on that. Except I
won't. But I feel like, I don't know.
Meat icing, I like, is what Andrew.
Yeah. It's a good meat icing at times. It's good for it's good as an ingredient. It's actually used a lot in Japanese cooking, believe it or not. It just kind of as an accompaniment to the umami flavors of soy sauce and et al.
Okay, now I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not with.
No, I'm not actually. Okay. There's something called omu rice, which is basically rice that you mix with ketchup and other flavors, a couple of other flavors, and then you cover it in an omelet. Mm. And that is a dish. That is a there's a term for a Western dish that the Japanese have created themselves and co-opted and then call it a Western dish.
Interesting.
It's pretty good. It's just ketchup rice. So you got to really, really, really be into ketchup.
My kids, ironically enough, the next day or so dared me to eat a small tomato at lunch. And gosh. It was,
first of all, where did the tomato come from?
From a package. It was a real tomato. Or what do you mean?
Okay. Well, no, I know you guys get real food up there. Yeah. Well, kids, here's the story for you.
Birds and the bees, tomato style.
Yeah, what I'm expecting is it was like an unfortunate side effect of a side salad that you got, or it came in. It wasn't. You did not specifically go out and buy these tomatoes, or do you have folks in your household that do like these tomatoes?
Yeah, the rest of my household actually likes tomatoes. That's the part of the joke. It's like we're each allowed is what we teach our kids, anyways. Is like we're each allowed to not like one thing, and tomatoes are kind of known as my thing. Although I eat them in other ways, if they're on pizza or if they're in a salsa, sure, or whatever,
sure,
but just all the right. Actual tomato.
I feel you know what though, so it's tomato in one singular form. I feel like you're not really getting enough bang for your buck on the whole like you can only not right. like one thing rule.
I know. I really should think of something better. I don't know what
eggplant. Go eggplant. I mean, that's who makes nobody eggplant? Likes egg.
The idea is it's a thing. It's like a coin, a currency, right? You can spend this, like, I don't like this. It's kind of your get out of jail free card. I don't like, my one son doesn't like frittata or quiche kind of stuff. Because one time.
That's a hyper specific formulation of egg. Wow.
So maybe that's more, it's more like a food. I just chose to take it one step back into a whole vegetable group.
Okay. I like it. I think it's fair, and I really appreciate that whole set of rules, because I feel like it doesn't necessarily hold you back from trying new things, but you can't add that new thing to your list. And once you've decided on something, you're stuck a little bit. Can you replace now? I'm gonna dig into your household rules now. Mm-hmm. Can you replace a thing that you just tried for the thing that you used to hate?
Yeah, I think within the rules, I'll have to check the charter and go back to the committees on this, but you can replace something, but it cannot be within the last 24 hours. So you can't just keep swapping, every meal.
I hate broccoli, I hate carrots, I hate cereal, not every meal. That makes sense. So there's a 24-hour kind of stay on on what it is. So what you would do then is just double up the food and get them to eat at least one of them.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty good.
I mean, and the classic, like the classic fine print is no dessert if you don't eat the other stuff, right? Outside of your, the one thing you, you say you don't like. And then the other, the double asterisk on that is if we're at someone else's house and they serve the thing you hate, you're still eating that thing. You're gagging it down and you're making nice about it. Or else you discreetly, as discreetly as possible, get rid of it somewhere else. Pass it to a parent, pass it to a sibling, pass it to a dog.
Just vomit directly into a dog's mouth. Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Nobody said that.
Sorry. That's just dog face talking here.
Dog face and crab walker.
So the thing for me, I was one of those kids that didn't like dessert, of all things. Mm-hmm. So the proposition that I would lose my dessert if I did not eat one of the items on my plate was never... That did not deter me from feeling one way over another. I'm not going to eat this tomato because I don't even want dessert. How about I fill myself with more carbs or something savory? Or I don't know.
You have a sweet tooth.
I don't. I didn't as a kid, for sure. Hmm. Now, I don't know. I mean, ketchup is pretty sweet. Ketchup can be really sweet. We only in this house...
You're putting your foot
carry
down?
Yeah, I am. I had to actually shuffle back and move the cat over just a little bit in order to actually literally put my foot down. So it wouldn't go into, you know, fur, Max. I only buy unsweetened ketchup.
Oh.
It is no sugar, no whatever, high fructose corn syrup. It's unsweetened. So it's kind of, I mean, it's short of just being tomato paste.
Right.
I think it has salt and it has vinegar, I assume. And that's kind of it. It's like raisins?
Thick pasta
question
sauce?
Mark?
Raisins, what?
I think it might have raisins as a sweetener. Like it did not add sugar as the direct sugar molecule. But I do believe that it has either dates or raisins in it. Not chunky. Yeah, not chunky or like rehydrated raisins with tomato juice, but kind of just like the pulp of it, the sugary parts.
Interesting. So would you put that on the farmer sausage or dip the farmer sausage into it?
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like if I do a dip, I always overpour my ketchup. True. I tend to just put way too much in there, and it's not going back into the container. It has the sausage bits in there now.
Can I introduce you to next level? I don't know if next level hell or just like a frustration in life. Once you have offspring that are capable of pouring ketchup or syrup or things of that nature onto their plates, and the age when they reach between whatever 3 to 10 or 12, and they decide they want to do it themselves. And every single time they pour way too much of whatever the condiment is, if they manage to hit their plate in the first place.
Right.
So if you're at all conscious about, we're not wasting ketchup, not wasting syrup, I would just avoid having kids is probably the best advice I can give you.
Yeah.
Just for the listeners,
tip. You should tell them you got to keep them separated. I feel like I got two offspring references in there. Let me see if I can get one more.
Part of Dogface and Crabwalker's shtick.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, we only play offspring songs in between our banter.
Yeah.
Where we're talking about vegetables.
So farmer sausage, countable and uncountable, plural farmer's sausages or farmer's sausages, is smoked raw pork sausage of Mennonite origin. Thanks to Sula for that dictionary for follow-up from last episode. Yeah. Two episodes. I feel like farmer sausage must have been
two episodes ago. Yeah, I think it was two. We were talking about coffee.
Right.
I think.
What?
What? It, but that wasn't funny. Hey, if you're gonna laugh at something, at least let it be my references to the Offspring songs.
Yeah,
but I guess I am pretty fly for a white guy.
Three, there we go. Ding.
Dan. Okay.
Thanks, Ultra Nerd, for your home screen. This was episode 7 that we talked about home screens. Episode 8? Episode 7? Whatever. Eight, I don't know. Eight. Yeah. Man, they just fly by when you're having so much fun recording.
We'll have to go. Okay, please, we will get into it. And you got to tell me about the last couple weeks that we've missed. Because I feel like we definitely have missed a whole lot. But we do have Ultra Nerd's Nicholas Ward's home screen here. What do we think? Rate, show me your home screen. Rate my home screen. What are we?
I'm guessing, is it an iOS 11 thing to have like in the top left corner beside AT&T just has a number -113? Is that like a, that must be, or maybe it's a developer. Maybe he's got some super
or secret. An accessibility thing. Oh, right. Perhaps. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. Maybe the actual like antenna signal, maybe.
Yeah,
something to that effect.
I asked him in our Stuffy Slack about the habit list, which is the app in the top right corner, the only one with any sort of notification badge. That has to do with brushing his teeth and flossing his teeth, is what he said. It's helped for brushing but not for flossing, so there you go, there's an app for that.
Okay, all right. I've got a friend who is an Android developer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who has created an app for brushing teeth that's got a timer on it, and I don't know if there's a mode for flossing in there, but it is on Android though.
So phone with a toothbrush attachment, is that how it works? Or how?
No, thankfully not. That sounds like an internet of garbage thing. I think it's just like a timer with some music to try and encourage kids to want to brush more than once per day, or brush at all, period. Speaking of Offspring.
Yeah, I could go quite a while on teaching kids how to brush their teeth and the expense brushing their teeth.
Whew. I still can't figure it out, so thousands. I can't blame them.
Yeah, I blame them fully. The thing I noticed you made mention of do I reevaluate my home screen in light of not being working or not working, not being at work, not being at home, which is my work. And it didn't actually change anything. Although in light of our conversation in episode, insert the number here, I would get rid of apps that I don't actually use, like when we talked through that, but I'm still, like we said, I'm stuck on the fact that in iOS, you cannot just arrange your apps where you want them. Cause I want Tweetbot to be the third app from the bottom, second from the right. And I want it to be there cause that's like muscle memory. And I can't do that if I get rid of Byword, because then it'll just all shuffle over.
Right.
So that's where so Byword is effectively sitting there unused just as a placeholder so that my apps don't shuffle on my home screen. Which is sounds really stupid, but maybe I should switch to Android. But,
yeah. Okay. This is the moment where I go to convince you to to join the ranks here over and over. You know what? Actually, wipe all that, because I saw those new mock-ups for the iPhone 8, and man, oh man, does that look good?
I didn't
see. Just like that edge to edge screen, and just it looks real good. And from what has come out and leaked regarding the Pixel 2, it looks like hot garbage. And I might be kind of hot on the latest iPhone, potentially.
Because the big thing is that they're talking about anyways is the idea that there's no button, right? It's just a software, or it's all capacitive touch, or
Or some sort of facial recognition, right. They're gonna need an on-screen home button somehow, but it probably won't be how you unlock your phone. It will probably have maybe a fingerprint sensor on the back, kind of like the Pixel devices here, or I don't know, the facial recognition. I mean, it's going to need that home button somehow. Mm-hmm. Maybe tapping the button on the right. I don't know. It's all conjecture right now, and we are most definitely not a tech podcast that has any sort of industry insight into what the actual iPhone is going to be. So I'm wary to say anything, but dang, it looks good. That's my hot take. Dang.
Grr, arg.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I've got an iPhone 6, so I'm due for a new phone coming up. So I'm kind of excited for something hot and technically sexy. Is that the right? I think that's the safe way to say it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of chamfered, I think, is what you're looking chamfered. For. Kind of. Yeah.
Hot leather.
Just. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So we're talking about home screens. You may not have changed yours, but mine went through a full overhaul while you were gone.
Oh dear.
Cause I missed, our conversations, plural, and I needed something to fill the time with. So, Clash has made its way onto my home screen. I have, like you, tried to get deeper into Trello, so that's now on there.
Wow.
Realizing I don't actually tap any of the icons that were on there. Mm. So like tracking meals and looking at movies, and I wanted the home screen to be sort of this more quick access thing, and anything else I would just use the search bar or dig deeper into my phone to look for it. So the stuff that is on here now is more like, I need it right now. I need to get into it at this very moment. Clash, for sure, one of those. Getting directions home, reading stuff, scanning stuff, adding a new note when I'm thinking about something, adding a task. It has started to be more about the quick actions and less about the, I want to remember I have this app on here.
Right. So you changed your background, too.
I did change my background. Yeah, I was looking for something a little darker. Mm. Less color, maybe. It seemed to be messing with my visual recognition of where the actual icons were. So I wanted something that didn't distract from that at all. One of the things I'm noticing, though, I am on the Android O beta. The icon styles seem to be changing sort of mid-cycle, where some of the Google apps have decided to adopt this. You see on the bottom right-hand corner, this sort of like smaller square look.
Right. Yeah.
And then the one on the far left side is this larger circle, which is the current Google Pixel look. Pixel Launcher, I believe, uses entirely circular icons. So I don't know if that's Google's way of differentiating between their like flagship devices and everybody else, or whether the new style is going to be all these square icons, or whether you can differentiate between 7.1.1 and Android 8. I don't know what the deal is, but it would be like if you went to the iPhone 8 and all the icons were circles, and then you go back to your iPhone 6 and they're all squares.
Right.
It is just very jarring, especially to have the mix of those. It's strange, really strange.
The Google Chrome app looks especially dumb, where it's a circular icon.
It's a circle in a square. What? Oh.
Yeah,
it's very, 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 very frustrating.
Never happened if Steve Jobs was around.
That's what I'm saying. Over at Google, where he founded the company, exactly.
Yeah.
The other thing is that like these quick actions as well. Like if I selected a quick action for one of the Google apps that has quick actions, the actual quick actions now are squares, and the icon itself is a square. Right. So it's squares on squares on squares, and I'm losing my mind.
Yeah. Welcome back to iOS, Kyle. I look forward to seeing
Thank you.
In line at September.
You know what? You might, because the iPhone is supposed to come out September-y sometime, and the Pixel life cycle is October, mid-October. So I'll get a chance to contemplate my reality and decide whether or not that's something I wanted to do, and then immediately regret it once I do dive in. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'll let you know.
And And a quick bit of episode 4 follow-up, going way back to episode 4. We've both since, I found out, I was hanging on to Cats, the game you suggested. So the two games we talked about was Clash Royale and Cats, I think, right, at the time?
Yeah, the Broadway musical.
And yeah, and Clash Royale versus Cats from Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yep.
I had been hanging on to Cats. I hadn't actually played it since we talked about it, basically, because it just didn't stick with me. But I kept the app on my phone just out of, I guess, honor and loyalty to our friendship and our conversation. And I tweeted you yesterday, I think it was, just saying like, hey, I deleted this finally. I couldn't, it's gone. And you replied saying you deleted it like weeks ago, right? Something like that. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you could hear that. I think I have it recorded somewhere. I don't know where that's going to end up, but yeah, I got so I beat Cats twice. I went through and got.
Can we just, we'll just get that. I'm just going to bookmark
you
that.
You beat Cats section. Twice. Oh, Kyle. What are you doing?
Just keep that for that's your wife. And
that's right. Do you want to leave? Hold on. Let me find out about the real cat. You want to leave? Yeah, I think she does. Let's see.
Well, she's afraid of getting beaten, obviously.
Yeah. So I beat the game C period A period T period S period twice, and I just didn't. The third time coming around and having to start from scratch, I just said nope. No, not going to do it. Not going to do it. And I deleted it.
All right.
So I'm sorry.
So how do you feel in light of, I'm not really personally offended or deeply hurt. I'll get over it.
Okay.
I'll be strong. Mm-hmm. How do you feel in light of a game that's purely on your phone that has, we play video games and there's tons of video games in our history collectively that we've played that, you know, is no longer around and stuff. But does it feel like, is that time just like gone and it was worth doing? Or does it feel like, especially when you delete the app, it's kind of like, oh, I could have done that a long time ago and not actually played the game. Like sometimes I think of like Clash of Clans and I see ads for it because I used to play it a little bit.
Right.
And I sometimes feel that way, but it's like, why did I spend so much time playing? I clearly didn't need to be because I'm surviving just fine without it.
I mean,
that's a fair question.
It is fair. I don't know. Well, I was racing to try and find something specific here. Give me just one moment and I will let you know whether or not I regret it. How can I find this out? Activities. Reports. I want the month. June.
It's like a puzzle I'm trying to figure out.
Driving.
Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
No recipe without the ingredients. Except it's Kyle using his computer.
Workflowy. Jeez, what am I? Okay, this is not what I want. June. May. So what I'm doing right now is I'm looking through a service called Rescue Time. To see how many hours
on your phone,
on my phone. So Android phones, I can track what apps are open and for how long.
Right.
So what I'm looking for right now is how many hours I have spent rather than wasted.
Invested.
Thank you. So in the last 30 days, I can tell you. Boop boop boop.
Sorry, I thought that was like the drum roll I was trying to.
Thank you. I don't have my soundboard open, but I'd play it. In the last 30 days, I have played Clash Royale for 21 hours.
In the last 30 days?
In the last 30 days. Yeah.
Oh, that's scary. Yeah. I mean, not like I'm not judging you. I'm just thinking about my own life right now. Oh man.
Yeah. I don't
21. Think about what you could do with 20 hours.
Oh, I know. In the last 7 days, I have played for 3 hours. So there was a time in there where or played it a pretty significant amount.
See, a number under five is still like whatever to me, even if it's in the last 2 days. Even though like proportionally it makes sense that obviously if you did 20 hours in 30 days, obviously there has to be, you know, an average per day there.
It's about it's about an hour on average, at least over the last, when I checked it, what, like a week ago, the average was about an hour a day, which sounds, I mean, for playing a brand new game and one where I'm leveling up quickly, it doesn't sound too far off.
No, it's in the realm of video games, it's not bad at all. For people who don't play video games and think of it as this frivolous thing, it sounds terrible, I'm sure. But
the thing with Rescue Time, though, is that you kind of give it all-seeing eye, big brother access to being able to watch what you do.
Right.
And it, all it knows is how long each of these things are active. It doesn't necessarily know what you're doing in the applications, but it knows that the applications are using screen time. And I use both the Mac version and the Android version. So I have sort of a mixture of all of my activity over the last, you know, whatever year on both of these. So I'm trying to dig in to these, but it's pretty difficult if you're not on their premium application.
Yeah. I use it as well on my Mac, and iOS doesn't allow you to track that kind of stuff for privacy reasons, I'm sure, that they give. But yeah, it is an interesting app to run. RescueTime.com is where you can find it, and to run and sort of actually see what you actually are doing, because you have your brain tricks you into thinking you're really productive and not wasting time on certain sites, but then you throw this site in or this app on for a week or two, and all of a sudden you realize, wow, I'm spending like hours with Tweetbot as the most foremost app in my, which doesn't necessarily mean I'm always looking at it, but it's a pretty good indicator that most of my time is spent on Twitter in some form. Which actually led me to delete my main Twitter account from Tweetbot, like the app I use for using Twitter, mm-hmm. on my Mac, at least. I still have it on my phone, but I find I don't type as much. It's on my Mac, I go to Tweetbot as like a fire off a quick thought, a dumb thing, get something out of my head kind of thing. But if it's not there and it's not active, and I would have to set it up, then a sort of muscle memory of like anytime I have a moment to like stop thinking for a second from an email or from a project or something gets hard in a client work or whatever, I would just flip to Tweetbot and see, oh, what's going on? I'll distract my brain right now.
Right. Right.
And since deleting it from the account, which isn't like some big, you know, quitting Twitter action, it's just the app isn't there as accessible. I can still go to twitter.com and log in, which I don't know how people go to twitter.com and use the web interface. It's like mind boggling. If you're at all OCD about keeping up with tweets, which I was, oh my goodness. I just don't
even rough. It's pretty rough.
That timeline.
If you use it frequently, you sort of learn its quirks and you learn how far you need to scroll in order to get to the point where you're catching up with the stuff that you missed. But also at a certain point, you kind of just have to throw your hands up in the air and say, I give up. I've seen all I need to see. And you close the browser tab.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that tends to be in the news every single day. And I don't even think I can think of a world where it won't exist in the future. It's almost like the telephone, right? There's going to be a point where, like, why do you need just voice communication when I can literally appear as a hologram in your room? Like, do we really need this monophonic way of having my voice transmit through electrons to your ear? Like, that's not the efficiency of communication is very, very bad using that format as I speak to you here through Discord and talk to a computer screen where all we're doing is hearing each other's voices. I think there will be a time where the telephone doesn't exist, but maybe that's just a product of growing up the way I grew up. I don't know. Twitter just doesn't seem like that kind of thing. Like texting between people just is sort of a mode of communication that is, I don't know, offline and able to be, I don't know, stand the test of time. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I think I'm of the opinion that whether it's exactly Twitter or not, I think something like it will remain, just because, even I think typing out a thought and in textual form and leaving that residue on the internet is just still the simplest way to communicate something without interrupting somebody directly. And whereas a hologram, I guess in the Star Wars Princess Leia message kind of sense, there's a, like, leaving a voicemail with a hologram is kind of neat. But I think
it's sort of like, I don't know. It's like the what's that called? The knock knock feature on FaceTime calls or Duo calls or whatever it is. One of those platforms has the ability to basically show the person you are calling that, hey, I'm here. I'm a real life person. You want to answer this voice call, and we can chat face to face. It's kind of, it's almost like that, where, like, I need you to just buy into this is going to be the way that I communicate with you. Is that cool? Is that cool with you? Maybe.
Right.
Because I don't voice chat with anyone outside of, like, calling my parents, or wouldn't call it a voice chat. It would be a telephone call. And then podcasting, like, that's kind of it.
Right. So then I'm saying, I think you're arguing for my side of it, then the text will live on, or maybe I misunderstood.
Well,
you saying,
no, I think it,
holograms are the future.
No, I think, there's probably room for everything. It's hard to imagine.
Take a stand, future Kyle.
I know.
Take a
you're stand, right. You're Kyle. Right. Future Kyle, do me a favor and call me back. Call me back. I'm calling you now. Answer my call.
That's the new hologram.
That's perfect. Calling from the past to boop, Kyle boop, in the future. Answer the call. Boop, boop. If we have a slogan for the show, it's answer the call. Boop, boop, boop.
This is gonna be an awful one to edit.
Yeah, it really, really will be. That brings something up though with the whole Twitter thing. I have considered over the last, I don't know, couple months about using one of those services that just completely wipes all of everything that you've ever put into Twitter. Either, I guess you could do selectively, like the last 1,000 tweets or so, or just get rid of everything and start from scratch. I've considered something like that mainly because future Kyle probably won't appreciate the pun that I'm making about boxes or about the tiny AirPods or whatever. I just don't, it doesn't really have like existential significant value to future Kyle or to future generations of Kyle that I feel like it needs to still exist. I feel like podcasts maybe are a really good way to leave some sort of legacy, but my tweets aren't. And so I've
like a residue.
Yeah, it really is like the slimy snail-like residue of my thoughts on the internet. And it's kind of gross. Sometimes I don't have anything value. Being like a cis white male, I have no value to add other than maybe stuff about design. Like, you want to talk about podcasting? Okay. Talk about podcasting, or you want to talk about the latest design trend. But outside of that, I am not part of any valuable discourse on the internet that's happening right now. I love watching it. I love being a
yeah,
like,
lurking.
I like learning. I like
lurking or learning. I said lurking. So here's as to whether you're worth being on Twitter or not.
What's the jury say?
Going back to July 3rd, 2009 at 2:04 p.m.
No.
This is Kyle Roderick's. At least, I don't know how this works if you change your account. This is your first tweet? I don't know if this is true. Is there a hologram dialing? just got back from a volcano in Oakland was according
to this. That was my first tweet.
Yeah, discover.twitter.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it actually was. I wasn't sure how that worked if you changed.
That's actually past. The thing is, though, that's past Kyle. That's like prehistoric Kyle, unfortunately. Mm. He was talking about hunting dinosaurs, question mark? Sort of the primordial ooze of the internet.
Oakland.
Yeah.
Not Oakland. Okay. December 11th, 2006 at 2:24 p.m., I just tweeted eating, and I got 3 faves for that. That's my first tweet. So you could see where the trajectory was just up from there, obviously. Like, you could see the future was bright for one iChris on Twitter. Let's just quickly, we've got
that's evergreen. I mean, that's
never, I should pin that one, actually. Kenny A. Roderick back in 2011 says, starting up the Twitter engine again. So clearly he deleted his account.
Started something new.
Yeah.
And I don't know. The thing is, I am not a public figure, nor are you. And so the things that we have said in the past,
Kyle, the legions of listeners, I don't like throwing around numbers because it gets embarrassing when you throw around listenership numbers and subscribers. But let's just say, if you were to walk through a small Midwestern mall in the United States somewhere, there's a very good chance one person may almost kind of recognize you as that guy from the internet.
You're probably
don't sell yourself short.
You're probably getting some dry brisket after that, though. So that doesn't sound like a really good way of really representing yourself.
Minnesota represents.
Yeah. Is that Midwest? I don't know.
I don't know my geography.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't matter. They're all in the middle there. If it's in Canada, we have a saying, if it's not Toronto, it's nothing, but that doesn't apply to me. That's actually not a saying.
I guess either. You'd be nothing. Yeah. Wow. Yep, exactly. That's rough. That's really rough. I think it's mostly like it's been in the news before where people are digging up old tweets that fit the context of whatever the conversation is happening today, or it brings to light some really nasty, terrible, gross stuff about the person, which can be really great in sort of like a milkshake duck kind of way, where you're just sort of making sure that you are not liking that person.
I'm just gonna milkshake duck.
Yeah, take a look at that.
Right.
It's been in more recent vernacular. As of late, dealing with like folks who become famous and then you start liking them and then realize that they're an awful, terrible person.
Right. The whole internet loves milkshake duck, a lovely duck that drinks milkshakes. 5 seconds later, we regret to inform you the duck is racist.
Yes. Bingo.
Bingo dingo. It's always best when you explain memes on podcast, I find.
You just cut all this out. You know what? You're going to end up with like 3 minutes of content from this show.
This is great. The peoples will love this. Yeah. I wonder why, unless you're running for political office or you have a job application in process, I wonder why having your old tweets out there does it stress you out thinking like there's something in there that maybe you've forgotten that you said? Like,
it's mostly me. No, it's future Kyle. Future Kyle doesn't want to see that stuff. If you use a service like TimeHop or... maybe like Google Photos, the way that Google Photos will resurface old stuff. And it's like, oh, sweet. A picture of my dying cat. Like, yep. I didn't really need to know that was 3 years ago. Google, thanks. But it's kind of the case for maybe not liking things or being like having old stuff being retweeted, but, just knowing the like mental pressure of knowing that something is there that I probably don't want to look at is enough to make me uneasy about my own stuff being out there. And the same can be said for old work, like old design work that I've done. My website right now is garbage. It is a like Jekyll pre-made theme that has nothing on it because it'd be like digging up old live journals and Zingas and MySpaces with whatever comments you left on those. And man, oh man, was young Kyle just not, that was bad. That's bad stuff. .fm. So I just don't, I feel like Twitter is sort of like, it's agreeable at the moment because I'm me and I'm right now Kyle, but future Kyle may disagree.
Right. President Kyle Roderick of the United
will
States
not
might have issues.
Right, exactly. So yeah. Volcanoes in Oakland. How'd he know about the massive volcano that was about to erupt in Oakland before he got into the presidency?
I've heard speak of I don't have a teenager in the household, and I don't know many teenagers, but that there is who knows how fast these kinds of things happen, but they would treat Twitter as if it's like Snapchat, where they would just tweet something out and then by the end of the day, delete it. And so their account is effectively at zero always in terms of tweets. But for that, a sort of ability to say anything you want, but then know it's gone before the end of the day or within hours or whatever. Which is an interesting way to live. It's not living.
It's a little bit of social responsibility though, right? Like if you're going to be a public figure, you're going to put yourself out there, you're going to make jokes, you're going to be the funny guy, you're going to be the person putting out videos and stuff. I think that's probably, you have a responsibility to kind of, I guess, own up ? To your own stuff and just leave it for a certain amount of time. It's that uncertainty of like, what time is really appropriate? Because my first tweet is my first tweet, but could my first tweet also be like, hey, I just checked into this bar down the street and for some reason I deleted everything before that. And 10 years later, sober Kyle decides to go back and read his stuff and then realize, oh man, I made a massive mistake. I don't, it's all conjecture, really. It really doesn't have any bearing on, I guess, my day-to-day thoughts. Yeah.
10 years to get sober. Which is,
at this point, I don't know. I don't know.
You have 6,500 tweets. I have 65,000 tweets. Interestingly enough,
what is that? Tenfold of what I have?
Yeah.
Jeez,
Lord. Hundredfold.
100.
Someone, do the math.
Yeah. And send us. That's one more zero. One more zero.
Yeah. Right. 10.
Multiplied. Yeah.
I have to apologize. I tweeted out on I think Monday this week about how I'm probably not going to be using Twitter very much because I deleted it from my account, like I said, and then proceeded to basically tweet as normal just by using twitter.com. What I find is I read less tweets by doing that. I'm still active on the Twitter sphere, as it were, get those thoughts out of my brain because, you know, Lord help me if I think about something for more than a few seconds before I tweet it. Mm-hmm. I'm not reading every, so I apologize if you are out there and you're tweeting some amazing stuff. I'm sure you are, and you're just missing the faves that I used to give you. Please just find your validation somewhere else, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a nice way of saying it.
Well, it's sort of like, why, not to get too deep into this, but like, why are we even on here? Is it for, it's gotta be what, for interaction and social visibility? And Twitter seems to think that it's literally to attract more followers, because I just see an ad here on twitter.com, run a followers campaign and grow your audience over time, which feels hyper manipulative of whatever thing I decide to use this for. It's just a lot of my deep shower thoughts on Twitter tend to just end up on the, like, on the side of what I would do with the Cats game. Just get rid of it one day and not feel like I really wasted too much time with it. I was on there.
You faved my tweet just 1 minute ago.
I did potentially retweet you during this program. This is really good. Liking that one. It's just, I think what I'll do is I will just end up off the service one day, and not care about how much time I put into it. I won't regret anything. I will delete everything,
Will you take an archive of everything?
Because I already have. Yeah. But see, that gets back at the whole, like,
why?
What am I doing? It doesn't matter. So for you, I mean, you got rid of your own personal account on there to sort of like curb your incessant checking of it, or you're like voyeuristic, just watching and not contributing.
Yeah, like that muscle reflex of like, go check Twitter anytime there's a moment where your brain is about to like start a deeper thought.
Yeah.
Kind of idea. Yeah.
Hmm.
So that's why I got it. But it wasn't because I hated what I was tweeting or anything like that. It's just more like time spent.
Right.
Time.
Like what you're putting into it is not really what you're getting out of it in terms of news or enjoyment.
There's especially if I'm supposed to be working and making money.
Yeah.
Twitter is not really making me too much money these days. See. I don't know. I have to check my last check, but
where's the Twitter line on your invoice?
Yeah, exactly.
Lots of impressions. Good content. Feel good.
I think I don't know how to wrap up this episode.
I don't know either.
I'm just looking through our summary of like residue, follow up and catch up, pharma sausage, home screens, iPhone 8, Twitter versus holograms, and then killing Twitter. It's one of those things that I think is like you go through seasons in your life of like discarding, getting rid of stuff that are in the way, and then they find their way back in if they're worth doing or just is a fun thing that you like to do. Like for me, checking Twitter, I know eventually it'll be back on my Mac just because it's just the way it's kind of goes. It's comes in waves, and then and it's okay. It's just kind of like I like to just use that way of like getting rid of stuff like that in not like a wholesale destroy it kind of way like you're describing, but just as a way of like evaluating and testing and seeing if it actually is necessary in my life. Cause it has been a long, I can point to Twitter and say, I do have some clients that I've gotten through that and some connections, and, you know, I wouldn't have the At YouTube podcast. Probably we wouldn't be doing that if it wasn't for Twitter, maybe, you know, but in terms of like dollars in my bank account, in my business bank account, it's hard to say that that's really, and I don't market myself a ton on Twitter anyways with it. So it's a bit of the chicken and the egg there, but yeah.
I mean, I would not have seen my current job posting it had not been for Twitter. I would not have applied had it not been for Twitter. Yeah, I mean, it's
right.
It's kind of the way that it surrounds your life socially and sort of like life path wise. Either it's making money or it's getting you a job or it's connecting you to somebody you would have never connected. I mean, you and me probably would have never connected had it not been for frequent interactions on Twitter or something beyond the disembodied voice of a podcast. We would not have ever connected. So it's a strange thing.
And it feels like a lot of those things, those examples though, are like further, I guess your job thing was fairly recent, but it feels like it's been a long time since there's been like a major, not like life change thing, I don't know, but like that kind of thing that has happened with Twitter. It feels like it's been a while since Twitter has had that kind of effect on me in a, where I can point to a time when this happened because of Twitter and whatever, you know, that's when I went left instead of right or whatever in life. But who knows, maybe I'll, like you said, job thing is kind of an interesting one where, or a client thing is can just happen out of the blue and wouldn't, like you said, it wouldn't have happened if you're not there in the first place. It's kind of like playing the lottery, I guess. 65,000 tweets and hope you get one lucky one where a client wants to pay thousands of dollars to edit their podcast.
Yeah. Bingo. Or I mean, maybe I kind of want there to be this veil of secrecy maybe in what I tweet too, where like, if you miss it, you miss it. And
right. You'll Snapchat or whatever of.
Kinda. Yeah. But with not, without the video and photo component, right. Which always feels the capturing side of that feels so like, well, man, I wasted so much time taking video and using my data and taking photographs and posting them on there. I don't know. Words feel far less valuable, but can also feel like you missed out on so much more, I guess. I don't know. It's the different weight that Twitter holds with me, I guess, than any other platform. I don't Snapchat or Instagram. I've deleted Instagram from my phone a long time ago and have not looked back because, one, I get some crossover on Facebook when I do look on the web at some stuff. But two, it was just so noisy that I just did not, I didn't find any value from it. It was just one of those things I habitually checked and wanted to really, really get off that, curb it.
So that's why I haven't seen any dog burps likes lately, I guess.
Yeah.
I've been wondering for months.
Nah, I'm out. I'm out of that game, out of that racket.
All right. All right. Good to know. I guess I'll, just like cats, I'll stop waiting for your
Just delete it. Just delete yourself from the internet, I guess, is the moral of the story.
That's what actually, this is, we're not going to go down into the rabbit hole because we're already over the hour mark of this podcast, I think. Yes, depending on how it gets edited, it might actually be a little 5-minute mark of the podcast.
Probably 10 minutes, yeah, just 10 good minutes.
I'm a fan of Mr. Ed Sheeran, the new musician, and in recent interviews I've seen him give a couple times, he talks about how he's basically gotten rid of everything. I think he has his phone, but he's gotten rid of everything on the phone. And in kind of like, you know, which is kind of like a popular thing to do sometimes for some people, but he's been doing it for over a year and a half now, which kind of astounds me in terms of the amount of time the guy has to be traveling, is on his own, probably in some jet waiting to be flown somewhere, and just has time to himself, really lonely time, probably in some ways. I'm sure he spends less time partying and drinking with Justin Bieber or whoever, but it is impressive that someone at, because he, the reasons he gave was like lots of just garbage people, like some, you know, some guy wakes up in the morning, decides he hates Ed Sheeran and writes a tweet to him. Mm-hmm. And like that does affect him, I guess, even though he's got millions of dollars to roll around in. And so it is kind of like an interesting idea of, I would, given that some thought of like just deleting all the apps off my phone, basically outside of like phone call, texting, maybe, even email maybe, and just using it as like a phone, in which case I wouldn't be upgrading to the iPhone 8.
But you need the screen.
Exactly. And it would be an experiment I'd be curious to try.
Yeah. You know what? Of all people, I'm up for that. I am absolutely ready to just completely cut myself off from the world. I think there was also something going around on Twitter. The irony, there was a photo going around on Twitter of a snapshot of an interview that Aziz Ansari did. And I think it was the same sort of situation where he's like, I've been doing this for a year or a year and a half, and it's great. It's wonderful. No news. You could tell me anything about the news right now, and I would believe you because I don't follow it. I'm just sort of, and you know, it must be nice to have a publicist and someone to help you out and keep you on track with what you need to do every day. We don't always have that luxury.
It is that idea. Like, I know in that interview, he mentioned something about how the interviewer said to him, well, did you hear that Trump resigned or something? Or I forget who it was, you know, and played him up as if it actually had happened. Right. And the guy was like, well, what if that had happened and you missed it? And he's like, well, you find that stuff out. Like you, even like my son, funny enough, I was in the last couple of days, it's been on Twitter, like Netflix Canada is raising its price to $10.99 or whatever instead of $8.99. And you know, people are sort of complaining and whatever. And then on top of that, they're losing the Disney archive in end of next year. Because Disney, of course, is making their own streaming service and we're all back to cable TV again. But anyways, my son then this morning is like, hey, did you hear that Netflix, my 10-year-old, it's like Netflix is raising their prices. And I'm like, first of all, I was like, how much are they charging right now? Do you have any idea? And he's like, no, because he doesn't pay for it. So it doesn't matter to him. But it's on the radio that this is happening, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just find out through the old-fashioned way of like people talking about it and or reading it in the newspaper, if it's really important, I guess, or I don't know.
I mean, pretty soon this is going to be, Twitter's going to be the old-fashioned way of finding out information. We're going to get it beamed directly into our eyeballs somehow from government satellites.
AirPods in our brain.
That's what I'm saying. Put them in the cat and get your news from that.
It's like a push notification with cute little.
But it literally pushes you.
That's my fear. This again, someone tweeted this, is like, we're going to get a push notification saying nuclear warhead launched.
Right.
Bye-bye. Goodbye, basically. Oh. That'll be the last thing you see on your phone. And then the world goes black.
Right.
All right. On that note, this has been Dogface and Crabwalker in the morning. Hope you have a good morning time drive. The weather out there is looking a little cloudy, but anything else from you, Dogface?
Traffic and weather sometimes on the eights. This is your dog. Woof.
The blessing.
Shoot, that was the wrong one.
That's really boop, boop, boop.